Welcome everyone this week to Healing on Agape, and this is Eva Herr. Today we have one of my favorite institutions that are with us, and with us is Stephen Dunn, and with Noetic Sciences. How are you, Stephen?
I'm doing very well today. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks so much for coming. It's my favorite organization.
Great. That's good to hear.
Why don't you tell the listeners who Noetic Sciences are and what they represent?
Okay. Well, Noetic Sciences, it comes from the Greek word for nous, which has to do with mind and intuitive knowing. So it has to do with the study of the deeper aspects of our being, our mind, our paradigms, our you know, things that indicate a soul. So you can think of them loosely as sort of the spiritual sciences, but with all of the scientific rigor of the conventional Western model behind it.
And you have some brilliant scientists there. You have Dean Radin and Marilyn Schlitz.
Yeah. One of the things we're very good at is convening frontier leadership, and especially in the scientific domain. If you're doing science that's outside the dominant paradigm and really wanting to push the envelope, especially when anything related with consciousness or spirituality or psychic abilities, and you're doing rigorous science, the place to be validated is really the Institute of Noetic Sciences. So we've done a lot of work that brings together leadership, you know, from conferences to scientific symposia to Marilyn just had a book out this last year called Consciousness and Healing that really brings together, I think it's 77 contributors from Larry Dossey to Stan Groff, you know, a lot of the most brilliant thinkers and practitioners in the mind-body-spirit kind of movement, and they really begin by assembling this larger cast of viewpoints to start to articulate a new emergent view of the practice of medicine, for instance, in this book. So it's taking into account not only the body, not only the mind, not only the soul, but also the clinician and the environment in which the whole thing operates. So it's a very integrated and integral model of medicine that's pieced together from looking from the viewpoints of these 60 or 70 pioneers. So it's a good example of the kind of work, catalytic work, that IONS has done for the last 30 years.
Now, not only do they have brilliant scientists, but they had a very interesting person that started this whole thing, didn't they?
Yeah, I think that's actually perhaps one of the most interesting aspects about IONS is our founder was Edgar Mitchell, and he was the sixth man to walk on the moon. He was in the Apollo 14 expedition, and his workload was mainly on the front half of the mission, and so on the way back, he was more or less along for the ride doing some experiments, but had a lot more time to dilate and reflect on being in space. And looking at the Earth on the way back, he had this sense of wonderment that really grew into what we can only term a mystical experience of the sense of the divinity of the wholeness of the planet. And there was an urgency that grew in him to translate this spiritual insight and knowing in a way that science could start to grasp and that could start to catalyze a more of an awakening of global consciousness. We sometimes use that term is our sense of being one planet, one family of beings on this precious little orb. And so out of this mystical experience in space, there grew a certainty that he wanted to start an institute that would explore the nature of consciousness and how to shift that consciousness and the underpinning paradigms so that we could begin to really live as a more harmonious, happy, and enlightened in some ways planet. So that was in 1971 on the way back, and he founded the institute in 73.
I imagine that was probably a hard task with the world being not very open to what he was doing, but I'm certainly glad he did it.
Yeah, I think the strategy for IONS hasn't really been very confrontational. It's not like there's, going toe-to-toe with existing scientists. It's been more a magnetic process of gradually linking together and attracting people who are starting to outgrow an old paradigm. Some people call that a more Newtonian paradigm, and move into to this new, more conscious, holistic space. And people were doing that fairly naturally, but they needed a place to be convened and to articulate some of this, some of these emerging perspectives, and also to provide some quality control and say what seems to be rigorous and grounded and what seems to be perhaps too flaky. So just kind of allow people who become interested in the power of this emerging consciousness to separate the wheat from the chaff. And so IONS grew partially from that convening role and partially also from catalyzing different interesting research projects or specializing in seed grants. So a good strategy would be to provide a $10,000 seed grant to a scientist who wanted to explore the power of martial arts to affect cell growth in bacterial cultures, who are directing qi in a certain way, and provide that initial seed grant. And if there's enough valid, interesting evidence that emerges from that, then it will often get picked up and funded at a higher level. So over the years, there's been a lot of this seed grant work, smaller grants of 10 to 20,000 that often lead to the development of whole new fields.
What are some of the things you've done over the past 30 years there?
Well, we've been very influential in the whole field of mind-body medicine and mind-body spirit medicine. There's been a lot of work, everything from the epidemiology of love, which was sort of a seed grant that we did, to the healing influence of prayer. There's, most people intuitively, maybe not most, but most people who have spiritual inclinations have practiced this praying for other people at a distance, basically using one's intention to try to influence in a positive way the medical outcomes for somebody else. And that's long, been a time-honored practice, but until recently there wasn't really any scientific basis for that. And we helped to create and catalyze some of the early studies that really started to demonstrate that there were effects, there were measurable effects. And that then has grown into its own whole cottage industry. And similarly, in the psychic arena now, we're playing a very catalytic role. Dean Radin is one of the real pioneers, the great geniuses of the psi world, the study of our higher capacities of mind and ability to influence systems at a distance. And his newest book is coming out this next year called Entangled Minds. And what he does there that's kind of unique is instead of just rehashing all of the history of psychical research, which is actually, to a fair-minded scientist, there's very robust trillion-to-one odds when you do meta-analysis of all the data, that there's a very robust phenomenon that's clearly being pointed to there, and yet it hasn't penetrated the dominant scientific paradigm. And so part of what he's doing there is also looking at quantum theory and quantum entanglement as a sort of physical parallel to what may be happening on a mental level with people. So the thesis of entangled minds is saying, hey, if we can entangle electrons at a distance, perhaps there's an entanglement of minds that also happens that can begin to account for some of these unusual results we see in psychical research.
Are you guys working on that glioblastoma project with the NIH and Dr.
Freichel? The glioblastoma project? I suspect that Marilyn's probably got her fingers in it. Marilyn is a... She's our VP of Research and Education, and she tends to be kind of a fire starter with working with a lot of different people, a lot of different organizations. So I personally am not always tracking everything that she's doing, but she's often in collaboration with scientists, so these various scientists. So it's possible she's doing that, yeah.
You also have a magazine called Shift, which I happen to have a copy on my desk right now.
Oh, you do? Great.
It's 2 years old.
2 years old.
But I hang on to them.
Okay.
Tell us about that.
Well,
how valuable they are. Hang on them for that long.
Out of this, a lot of what's emerged at IONS over the 3 decades of its existence has kind of been a natural outgrowth of people's interests. And so people wanted to hear more about what was going on in these different fields at the frontiers of consciousness. And so it started as a newsletter, and then it grew into a two-color glossy, and then it's now grown into a branded magazine called Shift at the Frontiers of Consciousness. And each issue, it's a quarterly magazine, really takes on a certain theme, a certain set of subjects, and showcases a lot of the leading emerging paradigms in that field. So, for instance, the the last one is called An Emerging Vision of the Mysteries of Consciousness. It's one of them. It's actually a really great issue, so I highly recommend folks signing up so they can get that. If they sign up soon, they'll still get that as part of...
How would they sign up? I mean, you can only get this through joining...
Right. So people become a member of the Institute, which is both brings a lot of benefits to them as well as allows us to continue to do the work that we do. So if people go to noetic.org, it's noetic.org, there's fairly obvious ways to sign up. And we have two different levels of programs. One is sort of a regular membership level, which the primary benefit is the magazine, but there's also community groups and discounts on travel and various events that we have, as well as the philanthropic great feeling of supporting this kind of frontier research and inquiry, which is so needed today. And we also have added recently a second tier or improved the second tier of membership, which is either $10 a month or $120 a year. And for that, we're delivering a whole range of media benefits. We've got weekly teleseminars with just incredible names from Larry Dossey to Candace Pert. These are live teleseminars, so you can be on the phone and then ask questions and answers. And then they join about three new other audio pieces or video pieces on the web each week. We have quarterly CDs. They still get the magazine. There's a yearly book, which Entangled Minds will be the first one. So it's a very robust media package that it allows us to deliver a lot of weekly value out to people and new perspectives. And it's really the best that we could possibly offer for that rate. And so we feel proud of this new program and want to get as many people in it as possible.
So people could, by joining this at the particular level, people can actually get on the phone with these people and ask those questions they've always wanted to know.
Absolutely. That's the magic. Part of what we realize is that there's a magic that happens in live interactivity that you just can't ever fully replace. And, you know, you have that on the in live meetings with people. We do a lot to foster people getting together in meetings and having events that explore these subjects, that figure out how to implement them in different ways in their communities. But we also feel like a lot of people have very busy lives now, so to be able to hop on a phone call once a week and ask questions of some of these extraordinary luminaries is quite a benefit.
Amazing.
And we wanted to add that live component, especially if you're in, let's say you're in Topeka, Kansas, and most of these luminaries might necessarily ever pass through town, and not everybody's got the $1,000 to fly and participate in an intensive workshop, and so the opportunities for live interactivity are really limited. But so we wanted to open that doorway for folks.
Now, if I wanted to do this, how much would that cost? And would I just pay it by credit card or something?
Yeah, $10 a month. That's our $10.
That's it?
Yeah. So basically, it's a great package deal. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So it really boils down to about $250 a week, which is less than the price of a latte. And so transforming your consciousness and getting access to all these frontier leaders, we figure it's got to be worth more than a latte for people.
Absolutely. I'm going to do it. I can tell you that.
Great.
Now, you also are involved in some work with What the Bleep. Tell us about that. Everybody loves What the Bleep.
Yeah.
They understand it.
What the Bleep is I think, is a fascinating study in how this emerging consciousness is getting out into the world, even though it's not necessarily supported or recognized by mainstream channels. So they really grew this grassroots network of interest in a film that explores some very weighty questions. And Will Arntz, we just had a teleseminar with him, and he said one of the things that made the shocking assumption that the audience is smart. Which most of Hollywood doesn't do, and so most time people kind of cater to a lower common denominator of intelligence and explorative interest. But with What the Bleep, they really did make the assumption that it's like people want to grapple with these deeper philosophical, scientific questions, but they also want to have fun. They want to be entertained. So if all you provide is the kind of the weighty, sober, scientific, philosophical discussions, it's going to be pretty dry and nobody's going to pay attention. But What the Bleep managed to really make it sexy. They made it, great storyline and funny animations, and the animations in particular are really good at grounding some of these difficult concepts in a way that people get. So, there have been critiques of some of the science behind the because there's such a grassroots groundswell of interest to provide an opportunity for people to take the openings they experience in the movie and channel them to the next level. So we provide a study guide that with study questions and interesting topics for discussion, so people can gather, and it's downloadable totally for free. So that you can go to noetic.org, or you can also get it through the What the Bleep site and download a free study guide and invite people to gather in a living room if you want to discuss it and explore further. And what you can do if you're a Shift in Action member, you can also put that in our event generator on the site so that other people can find you as well.
Well, what would some of the questions be that, you know, that people would be able to get? Because the majority of the people don't know what the questions are to ask sometimes, you know? They want to know, but they don't know in what direction to go with the line of thought.
Right.
So, that makes sense?
So in the study guide, there's four main chapters that can form the, each one can be like a week of a meeting with people. So one is on paradigm shifts. So first is just getting a handle on what is a paradigm shift. And a lot of people don't really understand the concept. And it's really, it's recognizing that we have glasses through which we see the world and interpret the world. And a lot of times we forget that we have those glasses on. And we put on a different set of glasses, perhaps with that have shades on them, then all of a sudden the world looks very different, or if it's hued pink all of a sudden. And by looking at what is the governing paradigm that we are operating in right now, and being able to take those glasses off and be able to try on a new paradigm, that can create a lot of powerful ripple effects in people's psyche and in their life.
Can help cause something click.
Help something click, exactly. So the shift, it's a deep shift of the deeper beliefs of the mind in a way, and then that changes the whole way we approach reality. So that's one chapter. There's a chapter on quantum reality, and that goes into more layman's terms as well as, like, what are these discoveries in quantum physics, and what do they tell us about the nature of reality? And you know, there's a lot of kind of mind-boggling aspects of this science that can be explored in a group, and then also brought home. It's like, what does this mean for me? And then there's a whole chapter that's more focused around intention, which is creating our days. What the Bleep takes a very strong stand about the power of our intention to sculpt our reality. So we look more into what's the scientific evidence for that. How much can our intention sculpt reality at distance? For instance, if we get thousands of people meditating on creating peace, is that actually going to create the peace? Is there critical mass? How much effect can we have on machines, on bodily systems, that sort of stuff? And then about healing the past. You know, that's another big thing about releasing some of the stories that have been governing our lives and the emotional patterns that are underneath them. So it's really kind of releasing the conditioning. So we thought those would be four areas that would be juicy and personally relevant for a lot of folks, and we have different ways that people can engage those topics more deeply. And the guide has been a big success. I think our site alone, there have been something like 30,000 downloads a month of that guide, so it's definitely catching on and being used by a lot of folks. And it's translated into Spanish by one of our groups down there as well, so for Spanish speakers, they also have it available.
Now, to intention, do you believe that intention is as powerful as I believe it is, that we really manifest our thoughts through intention?
Well, I believe it's as powerful as you believe. Maybe you should tell me a little more what you believe first, and then I'll say what I believe, which isn't necessarily the same as what Ion's believes. I believe probably I'm a little more probably out there than Ion sometimes is.
I just believe that the power of thought is the most powerful thing in the world, as powerful as a lightning bolt. You know, a lightning bolt, you know, you stand in a metal fishing boat and in a lightning storm, and it strikes you, and it's powerful. Your thoughts are also conducted by electricity and water, except they have intent behind them. So I believe thought is more powerful than a lightning bolt.
Wow. Well, that's definitely a very strong and compelling case. I personally think that our thoughts are sort of the tip of the iceberg. We have a lot of mental activity and noise, and maybe, you know, 5% of what we actually know is going on, or even less, is happening in our brain. So I think we're sending a lot of mixed signals to the universe all the time.
I think so too.
So to the extent that we're sending mixed signals and we haven't really developed technologies of focusing and training attention a certain way, a lot of the scientific effects are there, but they're weak. So, for instance, it might be bumping things, you know, 5 to 10% from a baseline, rather, or at the most, or 3 or 4%. But what happens is you do when you scientifically study these things for over time, you accumulate enough trials, and all of a sudden it becomes impossibly long odds that these are just due to chance. So, just to give an example more specific, I think it's very cool. There's a guy named Roger Nelson who's at Princeton Engineering Anomalies Research, and they have something called the Global Consciousness Project. And they have a string of random number generators that basically is like, it's like 01011100001. And they're based on certain quantum processes, so they're truly random. And these things just kind of wander around the map all the day. And they've got a network of these, and they're tracking what's happening with these random event generators. So if everything were truly random, they would just continue to be random all the time. But what happens, oddly enough, is that when there's a focalized collective intention, the random event generators become less random. So whether that's the O.J. Simpson trial or the Princess Diana's funeral or the Super Bowl or New Year's, there's times when our collective mind is more, all the various minds out there are all focused in a particular direction. So there's a coherence that happens. And what, interestingly enough, with replicable scientific rigor, you can show that there's a coherence that starts to happen in these random event generators. So they should be behaving randomly, and they become less random when there's coherent focus. Even when that coherent focus doesn't necessarily focus on the random event generators. And then there are people who seem to have a stronger effect themselves by just directing their awareness to affect the random event generator. And the signal isn't huge, but it is statistically very significant. And so if our thoughts were completely able to sculpt reality, we should just be able to, you know, get the random event generator to be completely non-random and do exactly what we want. But either we haven't evolved to that point where we've trained our consciousness to that level, or the effect is a little more dilute of the mind. But in our own bodies, I think there's a lot stronger evidence, because our thoughts are affecting our own bodies through a whole cascade effect. I think we get much more robust effects in our own body and system, and that starts to tail off a bit the further out we try to impact.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Anyway, that's kind of my angle on it.
So what are some of the new things SHIFT will be doing over the few years coming in the future?
SHIFT? Well, SHIFT Magazine is sort of the, I don't know what exactly is on the docket. I need to talk to Matthew, who's the editor-in-chief, for the coming issues. But I can tell you a little more about the SHIFT in Action program and what we'd like to evolve that into.
How is that different from the magazine?
Well, the magazine has been around for a while. We did rename it a few years ago from Noetic Sciences Review to SHIFT, sort of signifying a shift from a more big picture scientific enough to a little more action orientation. So we're really like, okay, we've chronicled these shifts of consciousness and provided underpinning science, but now how do we apply it? So there's a more of an action engagement compete piece now in what we're doing. So there's two aspects, really. There's the SHIFT magazine, which everybody gets as a member of IONS, and then the SHIFT in Action program, which is this whole enhanced media offering that we're doing.
Okay.
And so SHIFT magazine will keep exploring different theme issues. We went into education. We've gone into transformative learning. We've gone into frontier. I think the next issue is actually on subtle energies and the science of subtle energies. And so each issue focuses on a particular theme. And then what we've been adding is this piece around every week there's a new teleseminar. And we rotate those in different areas. So if you have a particular area of interest, that show comes on every 6 weeks. So I have a channel called Radical Spirit. And the focus there is the frontiers of spirituality and social change. So really looking at how do we both activate and awaken our own consciousness, but then apply that in a way in the society that begins to shift the culture in a positive direction. So I just had, I don't know if you're familiar with Van Jones, who's kind of an emerging African-American leader who's a really powerful orator. He's a human rights activist and also very potent in talking about the spiritual dimension of change. They had Arjuna Arda, who does a book called The Translucent Revolution. So really looking at taking a little more radical perspective on societal change as well. So that's my particular angle of my particular show, and I have a book out that's parallel to that. And some of the other shows are Entangled Minds with Dean Radin. So if you're particularly interested in the frontier science aspect, and he brings in a lot of interesting folks. He actually just had Will Arntzen there, Charles Tart. He brings in more more of the hardcore scientists and really exploring the frontiers of what's happening with science. He did have Roger Nelson on, who was the fellow I was just talking about with Global Consciousness Project. And then Marilyn Schlitz will bring in people like Larry Dossey or Candace Pert for the Frontiers of Medicine. Her show is called Consciousness and Healing. So we rotate that. There's only one teleseminar each week, and then we rotate between these different hosts every 6 weeks.
I can't wait for that. So what are some of the plans of Noetic Sciences for the future years?
Well, what we really want to do is keep creating highly leveraged change. And so we've had to curtail some of our seed grant provisions because we have a bit more in-house research than we used to in the past. And we have been having financial challenges lately just in terms of we took on a campus. It's really an extraordinarily beautiful place in year 2000. But it's 200 acres. We have a whole retreat center, and there's a lot of overhead that comes with being the stewards of a large property and a large interest there. So some of our budgets have gotten squeezed pretty tight. And so what we'd really like to do in the research arena is to play an increasingly highly leveraged role in providing seed grants and convening even more founders in a kind of think tank fashion, or pioneers rather, in a think tank fashion. On the media front, where I'm more focused, we want to evolve some of the teleseminar channels perhaps into radio programs, and we've also been in discussion with various emerging TV channels. There's sort of a resurgence in the interest of creating a cable channel or primarily web-based channels, but there's a number of different players who want to take consciousness-oriented work and make it into programming that's available in more of the mainstream media setting. So we want to take that, and then we also want to take the community network to the next level of its efficacy, and really helping people to make deep individual transformations and social transformations and collective transformations. So we want to bring together a lot of the best empowering tools on the web and, you know, media distribution systems and a lot of participatory things. We have a lot of that already on our Shift in Action site. We built it off of some of the network tools that were developed during the Democratic campaigns last year. So there's a open source software that we built a bunch of it on, and there's a lot of new applications coming on. So we want to sort of bring together a lot of these collaborative tool sets and encourage people to get together locally and become more sophisticated in their own individual transformation and then contributing on the social and global level. And so that's sort of on the media front and engagement front. And then there's a variety of other things that we can do with the campus as well. There's a strong interest in making the 200-acre campus a showcase of sustainable design. We had William McDonough, who is a pioneer in that arena, come out and work with us. There's a very beautiful, bold vision for doing that, but we haven't been able to implement much of it. We do have some permaculture on site, and we have some training programs for folks, and we're greening our facilities gradually, but we'd like to really make the campus into a sort of a model template in a way for sustainable and sacred living. So bringing together the self-transformation aspects, with the sustainable aspects, and really being able to let people know in the world like how to go about doing that.
That's wonderful.
And I'd say then the final piece that we're really interested in is template programs that can be replicated. So we've been doing a conscious motherhood pilot project. We've looked at doing stuff sort of for more Latina teens, training in meditation and visualization and different things that help them step into greater consciousness to be better mothers. So that was sort of training while they're pregnant. We've been looking at training programs for people in prison. Started some initials, just kind of brainstorming with a woman who worked at the UN. And there's a lot of other ideas percolating about how we could basically create template, conscious change template programs that then could be replicated. So we wouldn't necessarily be the replicator, but we would be creating the templates.
Right. But do you have satellites around cities in the country or in the world?
Satellites.
Small organizations, like here in Atlanta, it would be so wonderful if we had a branch ions or a branch shift.
Yeah, we do have the community group network, and that's a little more, it's group. It can be fairly large, like Seattle. There's a woman named Susan Burns who's really led a lot of work up in Seattle, too. They probably have 10 events a month or more, and they have big speakers come through. They just do a lot of stuff for healthcare practitioners. They've got a lot of different tracks. So they've grown that into more of an alliance network up there of Northwest leaders. So, and that's been somewhat fostered by headquarters, but a lot of it is, frankly, just been driven by some great leadership from the grassroots. So they've created more of their own networking hub, and IONS has provided the opportunity and some support to for them to get together and really find what activates them and interests them, and then also how to apply that in the world.
If we wanted to do that, say, here in Atlanta, how would we go about doing that?
Well, you could sign up and create a IONS community group just yourself. I can give you information.
I'd love to do that, because the people here are starving for it. We had a group before that was similar to that, but it's gone now, and people are it's like they're wandering around wondering where to go now.
Great. Well, if you or anyone else wants to set up a community group, you can call, or you can just email Tristy Taylor, T-R-I-S-T-Y, Taylor, @noetic.org.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.